He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen, and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? A very happy Wednesday to you. Welcome to another exciting episode of Your Welcome. Man, Joel, get right into it. Did you see what Kelvin Gastelum did over the weekend?
Absolutely, 100%. And I got to tell you, again, I was impressed with Vitor. As crazy as that sounds, a guy 40 years old, he went out on his shield. That's what I'm going to say about Vitor. But with that said, I'm not sure that's not the best 185-pounder in the world right now.
Yeah, or 170 in KG. I got no problem with you putting Vitor over. One, because I agree with you. I think he deserves it. You know, Vitor got clipped. He went down. He sprung his way back up to his feet. I mean, he went out there and he tried. And the other thing that I really do like about, you know, when you build up the guy that lost, is that's the only way you can understand and appreciate what KG did. We can't appreciate how good he is unless you understand his opponents. I remember when he beat Johnny Hendricks, which was really quite shocking in the MMA world. You know, right, Hendricks, the former champion. And people tried to say, oh, well, Hendricks is done, or Hendricks isn't paying attention anymore, or Hendricks isn't as focused. I'm going, wait a minute. Hendricks is a straight-up killer, and all you're doing by putting down Hendricks is taking away from Kelvin. That was a great Johnny Hendricks. The reality was Kelvin is this good.
Can I stop you real quick?
Yeah.
Did you just name him KG, or is that something in the past?
No, I got nothing to do with that. He's known as KG.
Oh, I love it.
I think because Kelvin looks like Kevin, and Gastelum's just hard to say. But yes, people call him KG. I get no credit for that.
I love it.
Yeah, so, you know, KG goes out there, and, you know, not only does he beat Vitor, he does it in enemy territory. Not an easy thing to do. And the one thing about KG is he doesn't know anything about pressure. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't feel it. He doesn't observe it. He doesn't even know he was fighting, you know, Vitor at home and that should have put pressure on him. And then the other thing, though, and you really have to pay attention to this, is he beat Vitor at his own game. You know, Kelvin is just a fighter. You couldn't say, well, this guy's a boxer. He's a wrestler. He's a jiu-jitsu ace. He's just an all-around fighter. And we've talked about that. You know what Luke and Tor told me on the set of The Ultimate Fighter. When I looked at KG and I said, man, I don't know what it is you're good at. I don't know. But I also don't know where your weaknesses are. And Luke and Tor came up to me afterwards and they said, you want to know what he's good at? He's good at fighting. And it just truer words have never been spoken about an athlete. He's just good at fighting. So to finish this thought, though, he goes out there against Vitor, the fastest, most accurate, hardest-hitting guy. If you were to put those three things together, he even trumps Anthony Johnson. He, when you talk about the speed, the accuracy, and the power in his hands, it's Vitor. And Kelvin goes out and just boxes him and boxes him up, offensively and defensively. Vitor hit him with that head kick and came with a flurry. KG weathered it and just came back. I mean, offensively and defensively, he went in and beat a guy at his own game. But again, when you talk about the ice running through his veins, you know, how calm he is out there, how he just goes out, how he believes in himself, is really quite remarkable. Because I still don't know what he's good at.
That you can't teach that
but
calmness.
But he's good at fighting.
You cannot teach that calmness, that slow, methodical. Not, I don't want to say slow, because he's not slow. But boy, he looks as relaxed as a guy, you know, going to church on Sunday. You know, he is relaxed. Now,
hey,
now listen.
I want to weigh in on this real fast because I like what you just said about his speed. Now, Joe Rogan was commenting how, you know, that jab was lightning fast, and that is one thing about him. He's not overly fast. He is more methodical than he is fast. But every shot lands. He's got complete confidence. His defense is so solid. His defense is so underrated. Wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and in the striking realm. He's very hard to hit. He's very hard to take down. Nobody's come close to putting a submission on him, let alone finishing him. He's just so solid. And I like what you said about methodical. And he will turn it up. I can tell you this from sparring with him. He will go at a certain pace. And he'll let you go first. But if you up that pace, he's going to up it with you. And I've never seen an end in that, where you finally get him at the highest end of his spectrum and he can't go any higher. He just keeps upping it. The guy's a killer. And when you say he might be the best middleweight in the world, he might be. And I'll listen to all the arguments, Jacare and Weidman, I'll listen to them all. However, he's also might be the one best 170 pounder out there. And you can't make that argument for Weidman or Jacare. They couldn't get down to the weight class. Rockhold, you know, whoever you want to throw in there. So he's a very special talent. And then when you look at his age, 25 years young, and just turned it, by the way, youngest champion in Ultimate Fighter history. And that was just yesterday. It was 2013, but that was just yesterday. We've watched him grow up. He is not in his prime. He won't be in his prime for another 3 to 4 years. And he might be the best fighter in the world. On his worst night, Joel, on his single worst performance he's ever had, he got a split decision against the current champion in Tyron Woodley. And I think that matters.
Listen, I was going to go somewhere else, but let's stay on that pace. So right now, first off, man, let's just quit talking about 170 pounds. There's no reason to talk about that. Okay, you're right. He's 25 years old. Why does he want to put his body through what is a traumatic experience, and that's that weight cut? If you're that good, okay, if you are that good. In wrestling, Dakin Taylor had to run away from Burroughs. This guy doesn't have to run away from anybody. Now what the UFC has with this guy is they've got a headliner. They can all the shows they need. This guy, he just headlined a show. He could come back and headline another show in 3 or 4 months. But here's your problem. At 185 pounds, you got Bisping and GSP. You got the champ and GSP out there with an unsaid date. You got Weidman and Musasi coming up. You got Jacare and Whitaker coming up. That leaves the number one guy, which is Romero, or Rockhold, Anderson, or Brunson in the top 10. So I guarantee the UFC wants to get this guy on a card and as soon as possible. I mean, he just ran through Vitor after running through Kennedy. Who do you put him with?
Yeah, 185. Who do you put him with? He called out Anderson. I got no problem with that. Be great for KG. Don't know that it'd be great for Anderson. So I don't know that there's a huge matchup potential there. But I like that he called him out. I like that his mind's working in that direction. He's starting to control his own a destiny by saying who I want. I don't really know who you put him. I want to say this. My mind's still stuck on his weight. So I agree with you that he should stay at 185, make things more comfortable for himself. I will offer you just as conversation that he barely makes 185. He is one of those guys, much like Anthony Johnson, where it doesn't matter the weight class. He's going to make sure it's hard for him to make. So there is something about still having 170 in mind that I think helps keep him disciplined, helps keep him within striking range. If you did just straight move him to 185 where he used to be, he missed weight every single time. He had to come back for a second try every time, even if that meant just step back and drop his shorts and re-get on. So he is a guy that kind of struggles there. That's only... And I don't even know how much of a kryptonite that is because he does make it. It's just a struggle. So I can't point to any other fault that he could possibly have. And I do know some guys that weight also kept them on track discipline-wise. Some guys, they'd have to get an extra run at night to keep their weight down, but then that helped get them in better shape. They'd have to eat a little better, but then, you know, that helped them feel better for training, which got them better. He might be one of those guys. But I can't think of anyone that can beat him, man.
Listen, man, when they came up with the ingredients to Coke and they got it right and somebody drank that Coke and everybody loved it, they didn't change the ingredients, okay? This guy, based on his last two performances, needs to fight at 185 pounds and he'll fight whoever they put him up against. I say listen a lot. I actually like it. Hey, I say Romero's the only guy going to take that fight. I don't think Rockhold will take that fight, and Romero is going to be out 7, 8, 9 months if he's sitting around waiting for a fight. I believe on that list, it's got to be Romero.
Here's the problem there. If you're a promoter and you're going to put that fight on, you're taking your number one contender in Romero with your number one prospect, and again, it's because of his age. More than anything else, a promoter has to look at who's got the shelf life. Okay, KG is 25. I got a decade left with this stud. Let's sell some tickets in the long term. If I'm the promoter, you're eliminating a player. If you put Romero versus KG, you're eliminating one of them, and they're both title contenders that can main event and headline an event. I want to put that matchup. I don't think that matchup will even be offered to him. But I hear what you're saying about in the rankings it making sense. And KG's got no problem with it. I'll tell you that right now.
I'm glad you mentioned the rankings. So KG comes out and cuts a promo, kind of puts you over in the process, says, hey, you know, a friend of mine's on a legend ass-whipping tour, and I'm going to finish it. And he calls out Anderson, who is just a little bit in front of him in the rankings. And they asked him about that, and he's like, listen, these rankings don't make any sense anyway. If you're not going to use them, they don't make any sense. You can't have GSP come fight for the title at 185 pounds if he's never been in that weight class. So you're starting to hear this a lot about the rankings from the fighters. What do you do if you're in that room with these guys and they're complaining about the rankings?
Yeah, well, so I get the argument, and it's kind of bulletproof. And it is tough. You know, first and foremost, it's a business. You got to put on the fights that the people want to see, which is a nice way of saying the fights that are going to bring in the most money. That's what I have to do. Secondly, I love the rankings because it creates controversy. Anytime you put a number next to a guy's name, and people say, oh, I don't care about the rankings. You never meet a guy that's ranked number one that says that. Guys always care about the rankings, and they care about those numbers. They just can't believe them. If you're number one and everybody's saying you are, you can't accept that. You got to keep striving to get better. If you're ranked number 10 and you want to be ranked number one, you can't accept number 10. You got to keep striving and keep training and keep hungry there. So when the guys in the back create a unanimous dialogue that these rankings are off and they're not being followed anyway, that does have to be observed. But what do? You don't do away with the rankings. They're great. We're making content out of it right now. I mean, the rankings are very helpful in every sport, largely because they create controversy and they create a dialogue. But, you know, secondly, I do understand if there's not a competitive architecture in place like a bracket, like every other sport has, where there's a bracket and guys get seated and they're going to go out and prove who's better and have some opportunity to do that, they do become a little bit tough. And so I get that argument. I get it. I get it on both sides. The rankings need to stay. Do we need to match guys up and have them have a little bit more worth? Yeah, sure we do.
All right. I want to backtrack to Vitor real quick. You know, you miss maybe three or four fights a year, tops. And I said the same thing about Vitor this time as I did last time when he fought Musasi. I said, man, he looked good. He looked good. He's fighting killers. So Vitor says, you know, I'm going to fight one more time. It's not that I'm done, but man, I've been fighting killers for 15, 20 years. I'd like to keep competing. When are they going to have a legends bracket? And I think that makes a lot of sense.
I think somewhere it would. I think somewhere it would. I don't know if it's likely, you know, that one of the top promotions are going to do that. It's tough. You know, they're looking for contenders. And as soon as you say, hey, it's not me, I'm no longer a contender, I don't know if you have a place. I will pay money to watch Vitor Belfort pick up sticks in the park. I think he brings something to the table. I don't know what his record is in his last few fights. I don't think they've gone his way. I remember he beat Dan Henderson somewhere in there. And I don't think they've gone his way, particularly since the TRT ban came in. But he brings something to the table. He brings a look and an energy, and he brings something to the table. If Vitor's last fight really is his next one, that saddens me in many ways. That is the end of an era. And I'll tell you, diplomatically speaking, it's good marketing when a guy announces his last fight. There's something to tune in for there. There's something to watch. The politics in the back, you never send a guy out on top because there's no reason to. I'm not going to send a guy with a flame that he takes into a sunset. I'm going to make him pass that torch.
All right, let's get back to rankings real quick. When you look at the 185-pound division, I think we both agree that the number one guy or the number two guy, or the number two and number three guy, Romero and Rockhold, would not fight KG. Big announcement in another weight class, a loaded weight class, where the number two guy said, you know what, I'll fight the number nine guy. Frankie Edgar against Yair Rodriguez has been announced for May 13th.
When I saw that fight got announced, I had a bit of a physical reaction of excitement. I saw that and go, wow. Because how good is Yair? I think he's a very special talent. But Frankie Edgar, that's a whole nother deal. And, you know, when you talk about number two agreeing to number nine, yeah, Frankie Edgar's from the old school. He's not one of these new guys that goes around and picks and chooses and lobbies. He goes out there and fights. So, yeah, if they want to get Yarier a big fight, that's the guy you have to turn to. I am always ready for the new guard. And no matter how many times I'm shown on television, you know, KG and Vitor, whatever it is, that the new guard always is superior to the old guard, I still have to see it over and over again to accept it. And to make believe that anybody is going to come in and dust up Frankie Edgar, that's tough for me to accept.
You called me with this information, and you said the same thing over and over and over again. Frankie Edgar. I'd say something you said, Frankie Edgar. And that's right, because I guarantee you, I almost guarantee you what happened on this was Frankie called the office and said, hey, I need to get out there. And they were like, man, the only one that we can put you out there with is that killer at number nine. And Frankie was like, okay, let's go win.
Yeah. Oh, I can guarantee you it went something that way, too. Now, whether Frankie called them or they sent him a text and said, hey, this is who we got, you know there was no discussion. You know Frankie just said, okay.
Now you want to talk about a loaded weight division.
But that's the way it has to be, Joel. Listen, if I come and find out that Frankie Edgar ducked a fight, I can't keep him at the number two ranking. In my head, I can't do it. You know, if he's out there ducking fights and he's telling us, well, I don't like this matchup, for whatever reason, I don't care what comes out of any fighter's mouth after that. If you don't want to do it and you're conceding, I see something there I don't want to deal with, then you're not number two. It's as simple as that. So, you know, Frankie looks at it and goes, hey, I'm number two fighter in the world. He's number nine fighter in the world. Let's go out there and fight and figure out if these are right or not.
To tell you how tough that weight division is, guess who the number 14 guy ranked in that division is?
Tell me.
Henan Barao.
Wow.
He's the number 14th guy in that division. He hadn't lost in 8 or 9 years. You know, he was down a weight class when he lost his title to TJ. I want to talk about Frankie real quick, because it also goes on to my next point, which is Shogun. You know, I said last week, and I've said it before, man, a guy's only got 4 or 5 years that he can stay in and be as good as he can be. And the ones that make it through that and continue and do it, they're just the special ones. They're the Hall of Famers. Well, Frankie Edgar's one of those guys, and Shogun's another one of those guys. Boy, every time you think Shogun's out, he goes ahead and wins 3 or 4 fights in a row. He knocks out Gan Vellante, third round of a tough fight, and Gan Vellante ain't no joke.
No, I will agree with that. Now, I didn't get to see that contest. I made it home just in time for Vitor Kelvin, but I feel like I saw it. I read about it. I watched the highlights. I saw the post-fight show. Got the breakdown there. From Eves and Bisping. And, I agree with your point. You know, Shogun's not going to go away. And putting him away is even more unlikely to do. So, largely what I hear about Shogun, you know, he's just over in California training. Largely what I hear about him is it does come down to the practice room. Is he in there? Is he putting the work in, or isn't he? And his team kind of knows before he ever goes out there what kind of performance he's going to have. And as of late, you know, they say he's training like he used to, that he can go 15 minutes, that he is ready to fight. Now, Joel, let me ask you this. Did you clean up anywhere at BetDSI with these fights? Because I sat these out completely. I had full confidence Kelvin was going to win. I have a hard time watching Kelvin fight. I never take action on his matches. There's just something about when he fights. It makes me a little bit nervous.
You can't bet on your own guy unless his name's Randy Couture. That's me saying. You know, it's tough because you feel awkward because you want him to win so bad. I understand that. I tell you what, I won money on Barboza. And there's another guy. He's in a dust up with Daniil. How do you say that guy's name? Benil Darouche, who's another killer. He's in a dust up with them. And takes him out with a highlight flying knee. Now, 3 or 4 years ago, everybody had Barboza being this is the guy that's next coming, this, that, and the other. He missed weight a couple times, lost a couple fights. Now he's on a roll again. I felt that coming in, and BetDSI had some good action on it, so I took it and I cleaned up.
Yeah, you know, I like that. I like everything you just said about him, and I agree. I think Barboza is one of the best athletes in the entire sport. I think he's ever bit the athlete that Jose Aldo is, that explosiveness, that power that he has, that unpredictability. I would hate to have to face Barboza, but to your point, you know, he did stumble a little bit, and you're going to at that weight class. That weight class of 155 is so stinking hard. It's so competitive. There's a reason that title changes hands so fast and nobody can stay on top. And if you're in Barboza's shoes, it's so much harder to take a loss before you're there. You know, if you're a star, you can then lose matches and it doesn't affect you the same way as if you're an up-and-comer. And when Barboza gets lost, you know, boom, all of a sudden the push goes away and he gets lost in the shuffle. It's like, man, don't get lost so fast in that, because everybody at 155 is getting losses. Nobody's going undefeated. It's just too hard and too dynamic of a weight class. And, you know, even when we're talking about kicking BetDSI's butt over the weekend, the KG fight, they didn't have, I mean, the odds for him to get a finish in the first round, I didn't think he was going to get a finish in the first round. I thought he was going to dominate Vitor, but I also thought he was going to take him down and tackle him. And we saw that great ground and pound by him. One time he did follow up and just stormed him. I thought he was going to force that position as opposed to go box, you know, with somebody as skilled at boxing as Vitor. And I thought he would stop him most likely in the third round and possibly in the second. He even outperformed what I thought he would do. If anybody wants to get action at BetDSI, go to BetDSI.com right now. Your very first gamble is going to be your very first deposit. That's the first decision you're going to have to make, because they are going to give you a 200% bonus on that first deposit. I'm going to use the number 500 bucks to do simple math here, but it can be any number you want. If you put up 500 bucks at BetDSI.com, use the promo code SHALE200. They are going to give you 200% on that money, which means when you check out, you're going to have $1,500 on the books at BetDSI.com. Your $500 and the promo code SHALE200 is going to get you $1,500 on the books. That's the very first decision you're going to have to make. I love BetDSI, but I love when you guys go and take their money even more. Go to BetDSI.com, set up an account. You pick your deposit. Use the promo code CHALE200, and you will get a 200% bonus on your deposit.
All right, it's March, which means it's time for the madness. And it's crunch time in the NBA. So you know we got it all covered on the Big Podcast with me, Shaq.
And we're way more than just sports, Shaquille. So be prepared to laugh, folks, as we bring you the best basketball coverage, the biggest names in hoops like Kevin Garnett, Chris Paul, Dick Vitale, Grant Hill, Chris Webber, and many, many more.
The Big Podcast with Shaq. Check us out with new episodes every Monday at PodcastOne.com.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Jael Sonnen.
What, Joel?
I got to ask you a favor. I've got a note here, and I want you to promise me if I read this note, you're not going to then go talk for the next hour and 15 minutes about this, because congratulations last week, man. You took nothing and made it to a phenomenal week. I think we both did a little bit, but I've got a lot of stuff to talk about today.
All right,
so
go ahead.
Would like to. All right, here's my note.
I'm going to comment, but I won't go for an hour and 15 minutes. Go ahead.
Demetrius Johnson is the newest fighter to come out and say they would like to be the co-main event on the Conor Floyd fight. In fact, he said that for his record-breaking 11th title defense currently held by Anderson Silva at 10 defenses, he would like to be on the co-main event of Conor Floyd.
Does he have an opponent? Does he have anything else to offer?
No, you've got the note.
All right. Yeah, I mean, again, okay, you know, you take a champion that's getting ready to make history, and he's asking to be number two on a card that doesn't exist for a spot that he cannot and will not get. I'll leave it at that, and we can move on.
Okay.
Hey, speaking of that, though, you read the news that Conor and Floyd apparently have a venue booked, what, June 10th or something, but they booked a venue for that fight?
I'm staying out of this. When I want to stay out of something, I always say the same thing. My name's Paul, and that's between y'all. I don't know which way this thing's going to go. I got a funny feeling that maybe it might happen. June 10th, but I don't know. Dana White's being awful quiet. He's going to be on the Colin show.
Colin Coward?
No, not Colin. Who's that other superstar, the late night host guy? Anyway, some redhead guy. I think he's
Conan?
Conan, he's part of the Alphabet. And I think he's going to be on his show actually tonight. So
with news on this, or you're just commenting that he's going to be on that show?
He's going to be on the show. He's been quiet. Maybe there's some news coming out tonight.
He's not breaking sports news on a late night show. Those two won't be related. But, you know, I will weigh in on this. First off, I've always thought that fight was going to happen. I've told you that a million times. I think if they booked a venue, that isn't just for some kind of PR. I think they think that fight's going to happen. And Dana did make one comment, which was interesting, and he said that fight is nowhere near being done. Well, that's a tremendous, tremendous difference from that fight isn't happening. We've heard him say that fight's nowhere near being done, meaning people are at the table and we're having problems and we're not getting something signed, but we're trying. And this is the same comment that he made now. And again, his only words were that fight's nowhere close to being done, but that is so significantly different from no. And when you take to the fact that they're trying to do Khabib and Ferguson again, they're moving the division forward, they're moving the division on in the absence of Conor, it kind of makes you go, well, where is Conor? You know, he took a little break, but that break is up, and he's still not back. I do think that that fight is going to happen. I think the fact that anybody is weighing in that there's a contest there is such an incredible disrespect to boxing. If that fight goes more than 30 seconds, it shames boxing. If it goes out of the first round, it humiliates boxing. And if I was to tell you in any other sport that, hey, we got a great athlete from one field that's never done a sport before, and he's going to come on and take on the best current living guy in that sport, it'd be laughed at. If I told you I got a guy who's never played basketball, sure, he's you know, shot the ball around and been on a court and had a ball in his hand, but he's never played a competitive game of basketball before, and we're going to put him up against LeBron James, it would be laughed at. And you could go, we got a gal that's never played tennis before, you know, she's fooled around with the ball in the gym, but never done it, she's going to take on Serena Williams, it'd be laughed at. And the fact that there's even an interest there, and I'm one of the people that shares the interest, but the fact that there's even an interest there is so disrespectful to the entire sport of boxing. And when that fight's done, Conor is going to go more than 30 seconds. He's likely to go more than one round. Shouldn't it? But he is likely to go more than one round. And it's going to humiliate boxing.
Do you know how they can get this deal done? They just need to sign the paper.
You just got to sign the paper. That's all you got to do, sign the paper.
All right, listen, big week this week. We have the start of March Madness. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but we also have one of our favorite weekends of the month, which is the NCAA Wrestling Tournament.
Yeah, man. Starts tomorrow. Can't wait.
All right, so
ESPN3 is showing it, by the way, not Flow. ESPN has the rights to it, and it'll be shown on ESPN3.
All right, so what I want to do is I'm going to get our picks in, and here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read the top four seeds. You go first weight class, I go second weight class. You can only pick one of those guys, or you can pick the field. Now, since you're deeper in knowledge on this, you're going to have some deeper insight, but at least we're going to be talking about NCAA wrestling for a minute. Are you ready?
Go.
All right. 125 pounds, your number one seed is Gilman out of Iowa. Number four, Cruz out of Lehigh. My boy, Nick Siriana out of Penn State is number four, and Joey Dance is the second seed. Who do you have at that weight class in the finals, or do you have the field?
Finals, I got Gilman and Suriano, if Suriano is healthy. If Suriano is healthy, I have him to take the whole thing.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting. All right, that leaves me at 133. We got Tomasello's the number one seed. Cody Clark's the number four seed. Cade Brock's the number three seed at Oklahoma State, and Seth Gross, number two, out of South Dakota. I'm taking Cade Brock over Cody Clark.
I am taking Seth Gross to win the whole thing.
Really?
Yep.
What is Seth Gross got you? Is it that style that he's just going to go, 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 and he's getting better all year?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of that. I really like his coaching. I Bono's got his guys peaked at the right time. Seth Gross is a killer anyway. He's got two wins over Cade Brock, who's the best wrestler in that weight class, the best technician, a pure wrestler. That's the only guy that can beat him, and in two tries hasn't yet. I think Seth Gross keeps it going. He's peaked at the right time. He's going to win the championship.
All right, you're up at 141. We got Dean Heil at OSU is number one, returning the champ. And help me with this name from Princeton, M. Kolozic. That might be right. We got your boy McKenna at number three and Kevin Jack at number two. Who do you got?
Well, it's not likely to be Kevin Jack, though I think he's going to have a very good tournament. Dean Heil is definitely the most likely, but there's no number one seed or returning champion that I would cheer against more simply because he's dull to watch. He's a killer. I don't want to take away from the guy, but he is a little bit dull to watch. McKenna and Kolozic from Princeton are my two favorite guys, and I would pick McKenna to win it.
Okay. Now, let's stay on Heil real quick. Now, anybody that ever competed in wrestling for a long time, man, you give us a 3 or 4 point lead, we feel pretty good. You know, we can work that clock. We can do what we want. We can make the ref move around. Not a 1 point lead. Boy, Dean Heil will get a 1 point lead, and it's like he's got a 7 point lead against the guy.
Yeah, and that's the thing about Heil. And I mean, the guy's amazing. I want to kind of check my words here a little bit, but if we're being critical, and I'm coming in from a critical standpoint, he's not fun to watch. You know, he could have a JV guy somewhere and have a one takedown match, and he can be in the national finals and also have a 1 point match. And, you know, for a guy with those kind of skills, he does know how to compete, but boy, he keeps him close. And his defense is so impeccable. He's so hard to score on, but one slip throw, one tackle at the wrong time, another guy gets 2 points. It changes everything. One reversal and a scramble, it changes everything. And so, you know, for me, it just makes him a little bit, man, he's dull to watch. There's no other way I can say it. He's dull to watch.
Winning's winning, huh? Especially that tournament. All right, here we go. The weight class that I believe is gonna change the direction of the tournament, and this is my pick. We got Zane Rutherford, Portland State. Micah Jordan.
Is Portland State anywhere near Penn State?
There you go, Penn State. Sorry. Zane Rutherford of Penn State, returning champ. Micah Jordan, Ohio State's number four seed.
Here, I'm going to stop you right there, Zane Rutherford.
It's not your pick.
Oh, I apologize. Was it yours? Well, then read them off.
Okay. L. Mays out of Mizzou at number three.
Stud.
Anthony Kalika, number two. I got Kalika over Zane in the finals. Kalika's going to win this, and that's how Oklahoma State's going to win the tournament.
Man, that'd be super cool. Kalika will not make the finals. Be super cool. Everything you just said won't happen. He won't even be there. And yeah, Rutherford is the biggest lock in the country. He's the biggest sure thing in the country at a tournament where sure things love to go down early. So, I do got Rutherford. He's a world champion. He's a national champion. He's a state champion. He's had success on every level. He's the most dominant wrestler in the country, and he's the biggest lock of the entire tournament. With that said, this tournament doesn't have locks, but he is it.
It's tough to beat Penn State because they score so many bonus points. I'm an Oklahoma State mark. I'm rooting for Oklahoma State. I'm rooting for that kid. All right, your pick, 157 pounds. We got Nolf, Penn State.
Funnest weight class in the country, I might add.
Good. Look forward to you hearing your take on this. We got Berger, Nebraska, number four. Lavalle out of Mizzou, number three. And Kremer out of Iowa, number two. Who do you got?
I got the field for the finals. I think JoJo's going to go a lot further than people have him. Nolf is definitely going to win that weight class. But as far as the finals go, I got the feel. And I don't know that I think it's JoJo. I'd love to see Berger get in there. He's an Oregon guy. JoJo's style, you know, I was complaining about Dean Heil not being fun to watch. JoJo's very fun to watch. So you gotta keep your eye on him.
All right, 65. Imar, Illinois, is the number one guy, going for his third title in a row his junior year. We got Isaac Jordan, number four, Ohio State. V. Joseph out of Penn State. And the freshman, El Massa, out of Michigan.
Isaac Jordan out of Ohio State, huh? Do your notes really say that?
I, Jordan.
Yeah, well, he's out of Wisconsin. But
it does say that.
It says Wisconsin. Yeah, definitely.
No, I get a mix. Bo's at Ohio State. Ice is at Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's correct.
States are hard.
States are tough, man. Schools are hard. Listen, definitely Imar to the finals and the championship, but Joseph is the second best guy in that weight class. Where was he seated? Is he on Imar's side?
No, he's 3 at Penn State.
Yeah, it'll be Joseph versus Imar.
All right, now I know you love this next weight class. 174, Valencia, Epperly, Bo Jordan, and Real Buto.
Yeah, so the finals goes down. The finals is actually...
My pick?
Oh, go ahead.
Then you can go. I got Valencia over the field.
Yeah, agreed. But the finals is going to go down in the semis. It's Mark Hall is the number 5 seed who you didn't read. Mark Hall will meet up with Valencia. So the number 1 ranked guy in college is going to meet up with the world champion in the semifinals. I don't agree with that seed in the least. That should be Hall on the other side so he can come through and meet Valencia in the finals. That's the main event. That's the biggest match that NCAA has to offer this year. That is the Howe Perry match. That is the Dake Taylor match. That is the Snyder Gwiz match of 2017. It's going to be in the semifinals. Whoever wins that is going to be your national champion, and I'm going to take Valencia.
All right. 84, we got Gabe Dean, Nolan Boyd, Sammy Brooks, and Bo Nickel.
Yeah, so I got Gabe Dean, but he's on a whole nother level, man. I mean, Gabe Dean is on a whole nother level of enhancement that these guys just simply cannot match. Gabe Dean's going to go through that. It's going to have a huge asterisk next to it, like all of his wins. And I think that he has Nickel in the final. I hope that he does.
All right, I'm going to go with Nickel over Dean. Wow. Okay. Anyway, let's move on to Jaden Cox's weight, 197. We got Jaden Cox. I don't even know who this cat is. Jay Haught.
Okay.
Kay Moore out of Ohio State and Brent Farr out of Minnesota. Who you got?
I like Farr in the finals. I like Farr in the finals against Cox. Cox to win the whole thing. He's done it twice before. He's also the defending Olympic bronze medalist that still has college eligibility left. That comes around about as often as a unicorn. I like Cox in the whole thing, but I do like that Minnesota kid far against him.
Yep, I'm with you on that 100%. All right, last weight class of the tournament. Mr. Snyder from Ohio State. Jay Casper from Duke at number 4. Ty Walte out of Virginia Tech.
Waltz.
Not only can't I read, I can hardly even write. And see Medbury out of Wisconsin.
Yeah, so Medbury is supposed to be in the finals. The problem with Medbury is he's not very good. Walls is the better wrestler, but if you go look at who won between those matches, both times they did it, it would say it's Medbury. So it could be Medbury. Schneider walks through the tournament, doesn't give up a takedown. I called Zane Rutherford the biggest lock in the tournament. I'm excluding Kyle Schneider because he's such a lock. He's the defending Olympic champion. He's the defending world champion. He's the defending national champion. Nobody's even come close, and nobody's gonna.
I tell you, you want to see your best round of wrestling, your most exciting round of wrestling, almost anywhere in the world at any time. Watch rounds 2 and 3 of the NCAA tournament.
Sure.
I mean, there's some kids getting knocked out of this. Some of those kids that we just read, and some kids from nowhere are gonna be bouncing people or be bounced.
Yeah, I've never seen a tournament ever where a bracket falls apart so much as the NCAA's. It's more unpredictable. The Olympic Games holds together more than the NCAA wrestling tournament. There was a streak there of I believe an 11-year period. 10 of those years, a number one seed went down in the first round. One of the number one seeds went down every year, 10 out of 11, in the very first round. Hey, listen, Dean Heil, as much of a lock as, and I don't think this will happen to him, but he has a very hard first round match with a kid named Prince out of the Navy. Very hard. They're going to go the distance. It's going to be tight. And, I mean, if Heil isn't on all cylinders, he's going to lose that match. Just to offer one, for example, one number one seed that's in big trouble in the opening round is right there with Heil. That is not likely, and that's not my prediction. I'm just letting you know that's how hard that tournament is, and that you've got these guys floating around without seeds. I mean, you look at Mark Hall with three world championships. He's coming at the number five seed. He's the best wrestler on earth, and he's coming in at the number five seed, you know, because of some happenstance. That's a tough guy to have, you know, in a quarterfinal or a semifinal round, a world champion multiple times.
And now you're
at a national meet. I mean, come on.
I tell you, the kid I'm rooting for to definitely go as far as he can. I'd love him to win it. He's got that kind of stuff. Is my buddy's son, Zach Brunson. I'm rooting for him, man.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for him.
Well, and Brunson can go one of a couple of different ways. I'm also cheering for him. And if you want to talk about pure skill and grit and worth ethic and experience, you've got Brunson, freestyle national champion. So we know he can win it all. You go look at his sophomore year, which was one of his best competitive years. But the problem was just how deep that weight class was. But if you go look at his matches, even the ones that he lost and the scores of those matches, you know, he's a 5-3 over the number four guy. He's in overtime with the finalists. He's right there with those guys. Now, at his senior year, he's shown some brilliance and he has shown some signs of letting up. And so it just depends. Does he have all the skills? Yup. Is he going to go out there and be a competitive, gritty guy like we've seen many times? If he is, Brunson's going to be an All-American for sure. But we have to see what happens. You know, don't forget, in the same day, he goes 4-2 with a world champion. In that same day, he ends up getting finished by a freshman. So it just depends which Brunson mentally shows up. Physically, I'm with you.
Yeah, I wrestled with his dad in college. His dad's in a battle with cancer, and he's doing pretty well. So I wanted to throw that out there for the young man.
All right, guys, I want you to check out HelloFresh. I want you to check it out because it's delicious and it's convenient and it saves you time. At HelloFresh, we want to change the way that people eat forever. We believe everyone deserves honest, natural, delicious, healthy food. We celebrate fresh ingredients. By making magic in the kitchen, we know there's a chef in everyone. We think food brings people together. Good food allows us to live long, and great food lets us enjoy every bite of life. We are learning and growing every day at HelloFresh. We never give up, and we strive to make people happy. That's why we started the HelloFresh movement. Let me tell you guys what this is. It's meal delivery service to your house. So many of us, myself included, are guilty of eating fast food. Why? Because it's convenient. To be fair, it is convenient. Nothing is more convenient than them bringing the food to you. Even fast food, and as guilty as I am and as much as I enjoy it, guys, I got to get in the car. I got to go somewhere. With HelloFresh, they deliver it to your door. Every single recipe will be measured out perfectly and delivered to you fresh. You put the food together. The meals are designed to take about 30 minutes or less. So now everybody gets to become a chef. Miss Brittany does the cooking in my house, Joel. She made a chicken meal the other night. She made lamb the night before. It's got a sauce on it. I'm talking about we had a shake for dessert that she made, some kind of an orange shake. It reminded me of an Orange Julius, which I realize is a brand, but that's what it tasted like. These guys bring you everything to your house. You also get to have the fun experience of making it, putting it together yourself. But this is the healthiest. I'm talking from farm fresh eggs to organic, naturally sourced chickens, meats. I had lamb the other night. This stuff's incredible. If you guys are interested in HelloFresh, if you're interested in cooking for your family, yourself, and having it delivered to you, go to HelloFresh.com, enter CHAIL35, and you will get $35 off of your first delivery. It's delicious. It's healthy. It's going to save you time, and you can eat at home. How cool is that? Miss Brittany loves it. She does the cooking in our house. I see it firsthand. Every single day when that package is delivered and she goes in the house and 30 minutes later, the house smells great and Thero and I are sitting down eating like kings. I feel it. Go to HelloFresh.com. Use the promo code CHAIL35 to save yourself some money.
Listen, guys, we're going to do something against Chael's wishes. Chael's not the biggest basketball fan in the world. He's not the biggest college basketball fan in the world, but he does acknowledge that 15 to 20 million people fill out an ESPN bracket. So we're gonna get our producer Jacob in here. He's gonna run Chael through the bracket. You'll be able to go to I'm gonna open up a room for your welcome. You'll be able to go in there and put your bracket in there and see how you do against me and Chael. I believe that he'll do pretty well. Lad used to fill out a bracket when he was 5 or 6 years old, and he would beat me every year. So Jacob, walk through these picks, but you have to give him the seed. You have to at least give Chael the seed. Okay. All right? You ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
All right, here we go. Number one seed, Villanova, against the 16th seed, which is today still to be decided, Mount St. Mary's or New Orleans?
Villanova.
All right. And Joel, you want to just enter those behind me? Cool. All right, we got the 8th seed, Wisconsin, against the 9th seed, Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting game. I like Wisconsin in that. I think the rankings are right, but Virginia Tech's a lot better than people give them credit for, particularly from the field. And if you foul them, you know, what they can score in essentially, what do you call those, penalty point free throws? I mean, they're over 90%.
Yeah. All right, so we got Wisconsin over there. Number 5 seed Virginia against the 12th seed UNC Wilmington.
UNC Wilmington, that's whoa, wrong. They screwed that up. I got UNC.
Wow. Okay. Number 4 seed Florida versus the 13th seed East Tennessee State.
Yeah, I don't agree with either seed. I guess I'll go with Florida because the experts did, but that's not a very good team and they should not be that high.
All right, number 6 seed, SMU, against the 11th seed, either Providence or USC.
It should be Providence, and I'm going to take Providence in that game.
Okay. Number 3 seed, Baylor, and the number 14 seed, New Mexico State.
I'm going to take Baylor. I think Baylor sucks. You know, they're worse at football than they are at basketball, but somehow they get good favorable schedules, in my opinion. I don't think they match up with the best teams, and I don't think they should be seeded that high.
Cool. 7th seed, South Carolina, against the 10th seed, Marquette.
But I'll mention, I think Baylor's fresh. Again, much like their football, their schedule sucks so bad that they are fresh at the end of the year. So, who was it, Marquette versus who?
South Carolina.
I like Marquette.
And the number 2 seed, Duke, and 15 seed, Troy.
Not even close, Duke.
All right.
Duke likely to win the whole thing.
Cool.
Yeah, I got Duke Villanova in the finals, but I got Duke.
All right, so let's go down the rest of the East bracket. We've got now Villanova against the 8th seed, Wisconsin.
Villanova.
All right. Got the 12th seed, UNC Wilmington, against the 4th seed, Florida.
I'm not going Florida, man. That's just not a very good team.
This is so great.
It's just not a very good team. I don't love Wilmington to beat them. I think I'm probably going to have egg on my face there, but Florida's just not that good of a team.
All right. The 11th seed Providence against the 3 seed Baylor.
Providence, come on, Baylor.
What?
Oh, man. The 10th seed Marquette and the 2 seed Duke.
Duke.
You said Duke. Cool. All right. Now Villanova, number 1 seed against the 12th seed UNC Wilmington.
Villanova.
All right. 2 seed Duke against Providence.
Duke.
Who wins between Villanova and Duke?
Duke.
All right. Let's go to, which bracket do you want to move to next?
Right over here.
All right. Let's go to the Midwest. We've got the Kansas, number 1 seed, against either NC Central, UC Davis, the 16th seed.
Kansas.
All right.
Kansas and the over.
8th seed, Miami, Florida, against the 9th seed, Michigan State.
Michigan State, man, I don't know how I can say it any clearer. They don't play great basketball in Florida. their schedules suck as bad as Baylor's does, in my opinion.
What's your thing against Florida?
Man, they're not good at hoops.
Just anything at hoops?
Yeah, they're just not.
Okay.
I mean, you go look at Clemson that won football. Again, it comes down to an easy schedule and you got a fresh team.
Hey, Clemson did win the national championship.
That's right, but I could name 3 teams that were better that I don't think anybody would disagree with. But they beat
Alabama.
But
which
when
is...
you have an easy schedule and you come in fresh, it matters. It's a grind of a season for everybody.
All right.
You know, you'll see guys come in off the bench with 5 or 6 matches all the time and be the stars of these tournaments all the time. And it's not because they were some hidden gem. It's because they're fresh and everybody else is worn down.
Fair enough. All right. The 5th seed, Iowa State, against the 12th seed, Nevada.
Oh, Nevada, come on.
All right. Number 4 seed, Purdue, against the 13th seed, Vermont.
Florida could beat Iowa State. Come on. Vermont versus who?
Purdue. The 6th seed, Creighton, against the 11th seed, Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, and who cares? Ratings right. Bust. Ratings bust of the whole tournament.
Number 3, Oregon, against 14, Iona.
I'll hope Iona wins.
Wow, okay. The 7th seed, Michigan, against the 10th seed, Oklahoma State.
Michigan.
The 2nd seed, Louisville, against the 15th seed, Jacksonville State.
Louisville.
I'm sensing a trend. All right, so the number 1 seed, Kansas, versus the 9th seed, Michigan State.
I like Kansas.
The 12th seed, Nevada, against number 4 seed, Purdue.
I like Purdue.
The 11th seed, Rhode Island, against the 14th seed, Iona.
Oh, God, another ratings bust that no one's going to watch. Let's just go with Rhode Island.
All right. Number 7 seed, Michigan, and then 2nd seed, Louisville.
Michigan.
Number 1 seed, Kansas, versus number 4, Purdue.
Really good game, Kansas.
Number 11 seed, Rhode Island, against 7, Michigan.
Michigan.
Who wins between Kansas and Michigan?
Kansas.
Oh, cool. Starting to look like a bracket. All right, let's go down to the west side. Yep. Number 1, Gonzaga versus the 16th seed, South Dakota State.
Okay, I got Gonzaga, but I got them for a lot of the same reason. Their schedule sucks, and they're fresh, but they are a very good team. They're a very good team that just got a light schedule. They're good. Gonzaga's good.
Mm-hmm. The 8th seed, Northwestern, 9th seed, Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt.
5th seed Notre Dame and 12th seed Princeton.
Oh, I'm going to cheer for Notre Dame over the nerds.
Ooh, nice. Well, they're both kind of nerds. 4th seed West Virginia, 13th seed Bucknell.
Oh, God. I'm going to go with Virginia, but that's going to be a ratings hit right there. People are going to want to see that game, particularly the insiders. Not your two biggest draws, but if you take a look, you know, particularly at driving to the basket, that's a good game. That's a competitive game, and their defenses are solid. And I predict, even with their solid defenses, it's going to be a very high-scoring game.
Nice. 6th seed Maryland and 11th seed Xavier.
Maryland.
3rd seed, Third seed Florida State and the 14th seed Florida Gulf Coast.
Well, it ain't going to be Florida. Hey, let's go back to Xavier. What state is that even in?
Ooh, Xavier.
Ohio.
Boo.
you didn't. Who'd you pick on Florida State and Florida Gulf Coast?
I'm taking State.
State, Florida State. Okay. 7th seed St. Mary's against the 10th seed VCU.
St. Mary's.
2nd seed Arizona and 15 North Dakota.
Hey, I like Arizona. I like Arizona in that. For some reason, Arizona and Arizona State, no matter how great those campuses are, no matter how many people they have for their peer population, they suck at all sports. But the Wildcats can play a little bit of basketball.
All right, going back to the top, number 1, Gonzaga, and number 9, Vanderbilt.
Gonzaga.
Number 5, Notre Dame, or number 4, West Virginia?
Notre Dame.
Number 6, Maryland, or number 3, Florida State? I already saw that one coming.
Maryland, come on.
All right, number
6. Just get Florida out as quick as you can. All of their teams.
Cool. Sounds like a deal. 7, St. Mary's, or number 2, Arizona?
I think Arizona's going to win that game. I'm going to officially pick St. Mary's.
All right. Number 1, Gonzaga, or number 5, Notre Dame?
Notre Dame.
Number 6, Maryland, or 7, St. Mary's?
I think Gonzaga's probably going to win that game. I'm going with Notre Dame. St. Mary's, of course. Come on.
Who wins between St. Mary's and Notre Dame?
Notre Dame.
Wow. That's the bracket buster. All right, let's go to the East bracket. We've got number 1, North Carolina, versus Texas Southern 16.
Texas Southern 16.
What?
That might happen. It's never happened ever before, and I would love it if you picked it because that would get us more media than anybody in the world.
Yeah. I feel confident in it.
Let's roll with that one. Number 8, Arkansas, against number 9, Seton Hall.
Arkansas.
Number 5, Minnesota, and number 12, Middle Tennessee.
Middle Tennessee, come on.
Nice. Number 4,
That's a mistake, man. That's a mistake with the bracketing idiots.
Oh, my gosh.
I really think that. Minnesota stinks, man.
Number 4, Butler, and number 13, Winthrop.
Butler.
Number six, Cincinnati, or
Butler,
number...
because I'm 40 years old and I've never heard of Winthrop.
That's a good reason to pick one. Number six, Cincinnati.
Where is Winthrop?
I don't know.
I have no idea. You know, just for that reasoning, I'd pick
the always coveted Winthrop.
At least it started with win. It's not lose throp.
Not bad.
Number six, Cincinnati against number 11, either Kansas State or Wake Forest.
Kansas
State. Cool. Number three, UCLA, or number 14, Kent State.
UCLA in an upset.
Number seven, Dayton, or number 10, Wichita State.
Wichita State.
Number two, Kentucky, or number 15, Northern Kentucky.
Oh, Kentucky.
Which one? The second one? Kentucky over Northern. Okay.
Yes, Kentucky beats Northern Kentucky.
All right. Number 16, Texas Southern against number 8, Arkansas.
Well, there's an interesting game. I'll go Arkansas.
Number 12, Middle Tennessee, or number 4, Butler.
Middle Tennessee.
Wow. That would be a fun game to watch. Oh, we'll get to that. 11, Kansas State against number 3, UCLA.
Oh, that's a tough game. You know, I don't think UCLA can keep it together that long in the tournament. I'm going to go with Kansas State.
Number 10, Wichita State against number 2, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
All right. Number 8, Arkansas against number 12, Middle Tennessee.
Middle Tennessee.
And number 11, Kansas State against number 2, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Middle Tennessee against Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Okay. All right, final four. Number 1, Kansas versus number 2, Kentucky.
Kansas.
And number 2, Duke versus number 5, Notre Dame.
Duke. Cheering for Notre Dame.
Who wins in the national championship against number 1, Kansas, and number 2, Duke?
Kansas.
And just for the tiebreaker...
Oh, no. I apologize. Duke's going to win the whole thing.
Okay. Duke, and for your tiebreaker, what is going to be the score of that game?
They'll have a combined score of over 120.
64. That's 60. Okay. So you're set. You got Duke.
I have no idea why you guys were giggling. My uncle won 2 NBA championships and an Olympic gold medal. And, you know, I was talking to you earlier about the fact that Connor even competing with Floyd is so remarkably disrespectful to the industry of boxing. But I will tell you this. I could go head-to-head, and I would pick myself to win. Anybody you want. Bring on Kobe Bryant. Bring on LeBron. Anybody in a straight-up game of pig. Now, I reference pig and not one-on-one. Because the rules of pig, if you call your shot and you do some weird shit, it could be over the head or whatever, then that person has to match or they lose a letter. And I have a granny shot that will swoosh. I'll swoosh a granny shot from the three-point line, and I'll call it ahead of time. And I go head-to-head with whoever you wanted, LeBron or anybody.
All right. I will fill out the Godfather's bracket.
You want to know another sport I could walk into today and dominate?
Tell me.
Swimming. I am like a bullet in the water, and that's not a work. I am like a bullet in the water. I've seen Michael Phelps go, and I've never timed myself, but I have thought, and only down, not down and back, and it turns into endurance, and who trained harder and all of that. I go head-to-head with anybody in swimming.
See, the wonderful thing that you guys don't know about this is you're sitting there laughing and everything. You want to talk about kayfabe. You want to talk about the real greats in this business. My friend, JLP Sonnen, will tell me crazy stuff like that. He 12, 13, 14, 15, 20 years ago, he won't come off of it. He's looking at me right now like I'm crazy.
Well, I mean, serious, and I would swim against him. I mean, I would do that. I've told you some other things that you thought of ridiculous, that I could go to any batting practice and teach these guys how to bat because they don't follow the fundamentals. You know, when I watch the major league players go out and bat, I can just see their stance on the mound and know they suck. And I did make that, but I wanted to actually go to the batting practice. I mean, I suppose if I knew how or where camp was, I would show up and try to help out. But I made that claim to you, and you called me on it, and we went down to the park, and I realized it was you pitching me, not somebody else. But I'll knock those balls into the street all day long. I mean, they're giving me a stick versus a ball. They're throwing the ball to me. It's like, come on. I mean, the only thing easier than this is golf where the ball's not moving at all. They're going to give you a stick. Here, go put this over there. Pretty easy to do. But on the swimming, I would do that. Or I'll do it by myself. If you want to come film me someday and just watch me go down the pool and then put that time against what Phelps did, you would be impressed. I mean that seriously. You would be impressed.
Again, 20 years, man. 20 years. A true genius in the art of lunacism.
Well, will you admit that I do have fundamentals in batting, though? Will you at least give me that after watching me that day, particularly as it refers to the bunt? Now, I told you that everybody's bunting wrong and that coaches are teaching it wrong. You know, coaches are teaching those kids to hold that bat out there and then just kind of move it up or down. That's not how you're supposed to bunt or ever were. That is such a dumbed-down version. That is so fundamentally wrong in bunting. If you're going to bunt a ball, you hold the bat like you're going to hit the ball. You then slide your high hand to the bottom of the bat at the last moment and bunt the ball. And it's these basic fundamentals, and I see guys miss it all the time. You know, you got that guy on the Chicago Cubs. He is so bad at batting. MVP of the whole league, but that speaks to my point. He sucks at batting, and he's the MVP of the whole league. That's the whole thing that got me fired up where I was telling you, man, I could out-bat all of these guys is because they don't have basic fundamentals. That guy goes on to the mat. He could not teach a batting camp and get a dollar from a parent anywhere unless he promised that he'd do an autograph in the picture at the end because his batting sucks. He goes on to the mound, and he rests the bat on his shoulder. He's not even in a good stance right out of the gate. You act like that means that my fundamentals are wrong. It doesn't. It means the whole league sucks. Your worst batter doesn't even know how to hold a stance.
All right, again, I'm going to get off of this. I'm going to stay on the bracket.
But will you concede that? Because you fancy yourself as a baseball guy. Will you concede that I am right, that his fundamentals are wrong? That is not how you teach a kid to bat. You do not teach a kid at 8 years old when he goes into baseball to stand on the mound and rest the bat on his opposing shoulder. His stance is wrong. And you're telling me that he's got the best numbers of anyone in the league. He was literally voted MVP, correct?
MVP, got the Cubs World
Series.
And
he sucks.
He didn't. He's the MVP. That means he's the best player in
baseball.
Or
it means the whole league. He's not the best player in baseball. I'm the best player in baseball.
Okay.
If you're talking about batting, you're talking about fundamentals, I am the best player in all of baseball. And I prove that to you at the park. And I'll be the first to concede that your pitches were meant for me to hit. I understand that. But I'll also maintain, I started doing tricks, man. I started holding the bat with one hand and you were throwing it. Yeah. I'm just saying, if you want your kid to learn fundamentals in baseball for batting, specifically for bat, because anybody can catch a ball. I don't even know how you get a position. Oh, I'm in the outfield. Yeah, I'm in the outfield too. Whatever. Batting. That's where it comes down to in baseball. And when it comes to fundamentals, particularly on the higher levels, I'm not seeing it. I see it less and less as guys advance. I see the fundamentals done in peewee, little league baseball. When you get into high school, I see pretty good fundamentals, but for some of the upperclassmen, it's going down. By the time you have a college scholarship, your fundamentals are gone. When you get into the majors and you have these guaranteed contracts, they don't have them at all. The guy you're telling me is the MVP of the league, if I was to bring that guy in and have scouts look at him before they knew what his record was, they'd kick him out of practice that day. He goes up there in a decent stance. I'll admit his legs are placed in the right spot. He rests that bat on his opposing shoulder. These guys do it all the time, and I'll see this in fighting too. The higher level you get, the more they stick their chin up. The better and higher levels you get of fighting, they start putting their hands down. And they all leave the same way at some point, and that is with help from a trainer or face down. You have to follow the fundamentals. And when I watch Major League Baseball, the guys don't have it. I will stand by that point. And I proved it to you at the park.
Okay. All right. I want to get out of here today at some point. So listen, that's his bracket.
You call me a liar if you want, and I'm being serious right now. If you're saying I'm lying about this, then say it. But Darren Shellstat pulled in after it was done, and we were picking up baseballs from I don't even know how far they were. I don't even know how far that fence was. We were picking up baseballs, and the goal was to get it over the fence, right? Remember when there was cars going by, and we were like, I'm going to hit this. The goal was to get it over the fence and into traffic, and I did not succeed. I did not get it over the fence and into traffic. It was a little bit far out, in fairness. I'd never held a bat in your presence before, but I told you how good I was at this. I have played before, but I never held one in your presence. I want to make this point, and you tell the listeners if I'm lying, and I want you to tell the truth. You call me out on this right now. This is not cape. This is what happened. I had never held a bat in your presence. Now, I have held a bat, but it wasn't in your presence. I had not swung at a moving ball since I was a child. You threw me 24 balls, and I cracked 18 of them, and I did some of those one-handed. Is that not accurate.
I got to tell you, it was more like, because it was a full bucket of ball, so it was probably more like 40. And, yeah, you are, in your opinion, telling the truth.
Well, you've seen other guys hit balls. Do you know anyone else that could hit 18 out of 24 balls, period? And if you do, then tell me. I don't spend a lot of time out there, but you also have to take into consideration, I had no warm-up. The only reason we ended up out there is because you got sick of me telling you how good I was at hitting balls, and you called me on it.
See, he's doing
and
it.
I shoved it right in your face.
Listen.
Is that true or not? When Darren Shellstat pulled up, and we're running all over hell, we were both sweating because we had to run all over that field to collect the balls that I had knocked damn near out of the park. That's a true... That happened, and
yes.
You're my one and only witness. So if you say it didn't happen, then I'm kind of stuck. So no, back me up. That either happened or it didn't.
That did happen.
That's what I'm saying. And some of those balls I hit with one hand because I got into showing, because I was cracking all of your ball. I was doing I was spinning around and trying to hit the ball. Some of those I missed, but that represents some of the six that were still behind me. The other 18 and 9. Listen, they're throwing you a ball, and they're giving you a bat. The only thing you would have to be intimidated about is the ball hitting you, which is illegal. I don't understand what's hard. The ball's you hit the ball.
Okay.
Ball's coming one way. Hit the ball with that big old stick in your hand.
See, my point is there would be no way on earth that I could ever break him off of this. Okay? So, guys, that's Chael's bracket.
But
it's going to be in
I know professional baseball guys. I'll ask them. You know, hey, how was your day? You know, it's a meaningless conversation. Oh, it was great. I went and trained today. Oh, what'd you do for training? I went and hit some balls. And I'm always sitting there. I don't even respond. I'm sitting there waiting for them to then finish what the day of training. That's it? You went down somewhere and you hit some balls? You didn't even break a sweat? You're saying that's training? That there's some kind of, they gave you a stick and then threw a ball right at you. You don't got to go find the ball. They're going to throw it to you. Where you're standing, in some places, you can go get a machine that does that for a couple of quarters. I don't have to do it. You're going to throw the ball to me, and then you're going to act surprised because I hit the ball? You threw it to me and gave me a stick.
All right, me and
you got the number one player in all of baseball with poor fundamentals.
Me and this madman are doing a live show in my hometown. March 30th, 7 o'clock at the Majestic Theater. Go to eventbrite.com. Get your tickets. There, as of this show, there's only about 150 tickets left. You're going to get to see this maniac. He's looking at me right now. I could never... See, I appreciate that about him. I
don't understand.
I appreciate that about you, that you won't break character.
I'm not this isn't trying to be a shtick. You were there when I did it. You called me out. You thought that this was all a big thing. Man, I'm telling you right now, and we can do this and post it, I'll get in the pool. I'm either as fast as some of these guys, or I'm not. I don't need Phelps to be alongside me to motivate me. I'll jump in the pool. Now, I'm only going down. I'm calling it right now. I'm only going one direction. But if you think I'm not a bullet in the water, I am. And I'm just making that claim. I was born with it. I was a born swimmer. My parents tried to get this. I don't understand why you're laughing. I'm being real, and I'm willing to get filmed doing it. I know this sounds like a ridiculous claim. I'm not saying I'm a trained swimmer and I'm all these different things.
Are you a bullet in the water?
I'm a bullet in the water. If you put a gun underwater and fired it, or you put me in the water, you'd be like, wow, I don't know which one's the bullet. It's probably Chael. I was born with it. I didn't say I worked towards it or I'm some master of the stroke. I am extremely fast in the water. Now, I want to go back to the baseball, and what people can't see over here is you're giving me the speeded up sign like I'm done. Do you contest what I'm saying about the fundamentals? First off, you don't teach a kid to go onto the goddamn mound and rest a bat on his shoulder. It's the easiest game in the world because they're throwing the ball to you. You don't have to do anything. So all you're asking the kid to do is hold the bat in suspended air for a little bit. That is basic fundamentals along with your stance. So you get in a position so that you have power. I understand these fundamentals. I was taught these fundamentals as a youth. We had a great program growing up through Oregon. You say whatever you want. I'm telling you the truth, and you called me on it, and I'll knock those balls out of the park all day long. I would have hit 24 for 24, Joel, if I hadn't started screwing around. So I get 18 out of 24. You've never even seen me with a bat in my hand. That's a true story. As silly as you think, that's a true story. I want to go back to the bunting, though, because the bunting makes me sick. Why a coach would teach a kid to hold the bat out ahead of time. You know, it's called the element of surprise. We do it in MMA. We spend 90% of our time in wrestling with setups. We don't tell a guy which leg we're going to go to, high crotch, single, head to the inside, head to the outside. We don't tell him ahead of time. We surprise him. You have coaches that are teaching kids to bunt by openly doing away with the element of surprise. At no point, once you hold the bat over the diamond and signal to the pitcher, I'm going to try to bunt off of you, at no point can you reverse course, pull that up to your shoulder, and hit a regular ball. You hold the ball, the bat. You don't let the guy know. You don't let the pitcher know what you're going to do. Pitcher doesn't let you know. He's got all sorts of different pitches he can throw to you. So you even out the playing field as best you can, where you have the element of surprise. And then secondly, you can change your own mind. When the bat's back here and you have good fundamentals, and that's what I have to offer the baseball world, I can teach them fundamentals. Well, you can laugh all you want, but you were at the park that day. So was Darren Shellstead when he saw us picking up ball from the balls were everywhere because I'd already scattered them. The basic fundamentals, if you follow the principle, you can change and bunt at the last second. At the same time, if your plan is to bunt, you can change and hit the ball. We have coaches that are now showing kids, just hold the bat here. Hey, coach, why don't you just show the kid where the dugout is, because that's where he's going to be in a minute anyway, and it's largely your fault because you told him to do that. Those are not the fundamentals of batting.
We have to start videoing these things, because if you could only see JLP's face right now, he is so into this character right now. You couldn't take him off of this.
It's not a character.
Now I have to. We're going to be here for another 6 hours if I don't get off of this. But pick wise, find our picks.
I don't say this on everything, Joel. I mean, you're acting like this is your stick. I don't say this on everything. Now, I used to think as a contingency plan, like as a backup, I could just go into the NFL at any time. I always thought, well, if I get hurt or my athletic abilities diminish, I'll just go join the NFL. I really did think that. Now, I don't think that anymore. I played around with Ricky Williams. You remember Ricky Williams, running back?
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing career. He's retired for a meaningful period of time. Now, he retired for a reason, which is that he can't play the game anymore. With that said, I went and played around with him in the park last year. We were Celebrity Apprentice when we were doing that. I watched this guy move, spin, hustle, explode, jump. And this is a guy that doesn't do it anymore because he can't. I'm not tackling that son of a bitch. I'm getting out of the way. Okay, so I have changed my mind on football completely. I was wrong. My perception of that was absolutely wrong. But as far as it pertains to baseball, and I'm speaking specifically of the fundamentals, and I have to, because if you're talking about being in the outfield or catching a ball, come on, man. Of course I can do all of those things. Nobody's can test that I could go play first base right now for any team. Third base. Whoever goes to third base, right? Whoever throws a ball, the third baseman just stands there. Outfield, all of these. Catcher. Catcher is very fun. People don't think catcher is fun. Catcher is actually very fun because you get the ball at all times. But I want to contest those because everybody would just go, well, yeah, Chael could go be a catcher right now. What they don't know is hitting the ball, a ball that is being thrown to me while I stand in place. You're talking about a guy that's in impeccable condition versus these baseball players that are standing in place and the ball comes to you, Joel. Ball comes to you. And all I would like these guys to do, and it would get me to shut up on all of these rants, and I'm doing one right now publicly, but I give you these privately too. All I would ask them to do is follow basic fundamentals.
See, another reason we need to start videoing these things is in Crazy Land, where Chael's living at right this second, he was also doing a bunch of the president's gestures in this. But I concede everything to you. You are the master of crazy, and I can see the further we get down this rabbit hole, the crazier you get. So I do believe that if things don't work out for you, you know, if you get in a rough spot, you and Miss B get in a rough spot, you know, then just go play some Major League Baseball.
I'm not even looking to do that. I'm looking to offer my help and my suggestions. If these guys could follow, here, there's baseball playing on the TV right now. If you watch this guy's stance, Look where his butt's at in relation to his knees and his feet. This is important for power. Should he connect with the ball that's being thrown to him, I might add, that he has to do no kind of work or effort for right now. He is in good, I'll concede, he is this guy, who is this? Do you know who this is playing? He's in very good position to knock the hell out of the ball. You've got these other guys that are resting the bat against their shoulder, trying to look like Mr. Cool up there, and that doesn't last, particularly in the long term. You want to talk about shortening your athletic window for a bit? Don't follow the fundamentals. And for a while, your eyes and your speed and your reactions might get you somewhere. Over the long term, if you don't have basics, solid basics that you should have been taught at 8, 9 years old, and I trust these guys were, but somewhere over time, they became too cool for school and they got away from the fundamentals and they got more concerned about how they look on the mound. What is this prick's name that you say was the MVP for Chicago who sucks at batting, but you're saying he's the best in the world?
Chris Bryant.
Chris Bryant, if he could follow the fundamentals, if he spent one day with me and listened, he would extend his career. Now, that's a true story. That's a true story. I'm not saying he'd hit any more balls because apparently he hits a lot of balls. He will extend his career. He is not following the basics, and it will come back and bite him in the ass. You want to know something? You talked about the president a second ago. It is so amazing to me how the bigger story in politics never gets told. The bigger story never comes up. We spent, was it about 14 months hearing about Hillary Clinton and her damn emails. Could not have possibly cared less from where I'm at. Now, I think that comes from a little bit of a lack of understanding by me of national security and how important this was. But in fairness, I just couldn't have cared less. She had multiple emails. So what? The bigger story there is that we're coming out and saying China has these emails, Russia has these emails, South Korea might have these emails, and we don't know who else. That came, those three countries specifically, and we don't know who else. The amazing story is how we didn't. How do we have our own security within feet of her at all times, and we don't know this is happening? That is a much bigger story. Now you're seeing the president talk about wiretapping. The much bigger story is he told Congress to investigate. Congress, who is so weak, so incredibly weak, has now put it back on the president to show it. So now they're turning to the Department of Justice, who's now turned the gun at the White House, who now turns the gun back on the Department of Justice. Nothing can get done. That's the bigger story. And, you know, if all you want to do is go out and make our country look disorganized, this is what is succeeding to do. We've seen this with the fight against ISIS. When we first heard about ISIS, Joel, they were 200 strong. That was all they had. We have the greatest military in the world, and all you want to do is make our military look weak because we can't go wipe out 200 people. Now ISIS has grown to reports of over 10,000. ISIS will tell you they have tens of thousands, but some of our own report will say they've got over 10,000. If you put that in percentage, how much percentage they have grown from when we first learned about them, and we can't get rid of these guys, all it does is make us look bad. And when the president makes some statement and then turns it to Congress, who's supposed to be powerful, Congress can't do anything. No, they got nowhere done. So now they've turned it back on the White House to prove it. Can one of you guys get this done? Can the FBI step in? Can the CIA step in? Does anybody over there have any level of stroke, any level of organization? And why Congress is so weak, and now I'm talking about the Senate, both the House, everything, the Congress and the Senate together. That House is so incredibly weak, and all this has done is shown it. None of them can figure out and say, hey, that didn't happen, or yes, it did happen, or this is who we're going to call in, and we're going to subpoena them and make them tell us one way or the other. None of them can get anything done. It's that disorganized, and it's that weak, Joel.
My name is Paul. And that's between y'all.
Basic fundamentals. What else do you got? You're staring at some notes here.
That's for tomorrow's show, brother. I'm good, man. I'm good. I got nothing for you. I just really want everybody to work on their baseball fundamentals, or Mr. Sennin will kind of help you out.
They can't just work on their fundamentals. These coaches at the higher level let them get away with it. And I understand why. When you get to the highest levels, it comes down to, are you producing or not? Are you making contact with that ball and getting a guy on base? That's what it comes down to. But if the kids are watching some of these guys, what's this guy's name that was MVP? Bryant? Jason Bryant?
Hank Aaron.
Just tell me his name.
Chris Bryant.
Okay. You haven't conceded anything to me today, but you are a baseball guy. A lot of people don't know that about you. You are a baseball guy. You spend a lot of time at the park, largely because of your son, and he's involved. will you at least concede to me that if you're a young up-and-comer trying to learn the game, don't look at Chris Bryant. Don't go watch Chris Bryant tapes because he doesn't follow the fundamentals. I'll concede that about my sport. Don't go out and do what Connor does. Don't go do what Anderson does. These are unique guys, but they break the fundamentals. All of their careers are shorter than they need to be. Those guys will follow suit. Roy Jones did it. He ended up face down and carried out. It happened. Chuck Liddell did it. It worked for a long time, but it shortens. Your window gets shortened if you can't follow the basics. Will you at least concede to me, from your knowledge of baseball, that he doesn't follow some of the basic principles? When you work with Ladd, if Ladd walked onto the mound and he rested the bat against his shoulder to look cool, wouldn't you say, hey, Ladd, you need to get in the proper stance? Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah, I'll concede. I'll either concede or I'll chop off my finger. Either one that can get us to finish up this show, I'll do either. Hey, I wanted to send some I spent the weekend in Kankakee getting the groundwork set for our live show. Wanted to thank Tom Mann with 5% Nutrition and Johnny Doolin with Miller Lite for those guys coming on as sponsors.
Yeah, I have a feeling the Miller Lite sponsor just got you sauced for 3 days. They're probably doing nothing with the show. If I get to this show, am I going to see Miller Lite logos anywhere? Am I ever going to see a check from Miller Lite or a guy that you know poured some Miller Lite down your gullet?
If I
get to this show, am I going to see Miller Lite somewhere?
Yes, I guarantee you will see Miller Lite somewhere.
Am I going to see a check from said company?
Absolutely, baby.
No, you already drank it. You already you drank those proceeds away. Listen, we're going to be out there in Kankakee, but the very next night, you know where we're going to be? We're going to be front and center because King Mo is getting it on with Rampage. And anytime those two guys get together, there's something to watch. I think there's something there for Rampage. You know, we talked about this earlier with Vitor. There is something about Rampage fighting, something about Rampage being involved. There's something to see. You just have to look. Rampage is one of those characters. And if you want to talk about characters, you don't look any further than King Mo.
Can I go over there with the broadcast team and get onto the venue and then kicked out again like we did in San Jose?
Yeah, call Coker up. Tell him that you're bringing in, is it Miller Lite? Bud Light? Who's the sponsor that you already drank all the proceeds of?
Miller Lite.
Miller Lite. Tell him you got Miller Lite. And he's like, great, what's that mean? They just hand him a Miller Lite.
There you go.
There's your sponsorship. Can I have my tickets now, Mr. Coker?
There you go. I'm good, baby.
You drank the sponsorship already, didn't you? I was kidding when I said that for about the first sentence, and then I looked at your body language and realized I'm right.
No.
Do you want to see me swim and put the time against Phelps and Lockie and some of these guys?
We've got a bunch of more shows this week, so let's
just... Because I could be out of my mind. I don't know how far it would go. I mean, it is a simple time. It's not really you against them. It's you versus the clock versus them versus the clock.
See, there's so many softballs I can throw them right now.
But I'm just saying, let's go put the math together. And then let's just see, because I don't know that it would stack up. You know, when you talk about Phelps and Lockie, the only reason I even bring these guys into this conversation, because there's a level of ridiculousness, right? It's not like I just decided to sit the Olympics out. I didn't want 22 gold medals, right? That's not what I'm saying. But I think it would very much surprise you how far I could go with my swimming. I'm talking one time down. I'm not turning crawl stroke and teams and relays. Is that called the 100 meter freestyle, I believe?
The shortest distance there is, I believe, is the 25 meter. No, it's the 50 meter.
Well, I want the full lap. 50, well, I want one time. I thought that was 100. The 100's down and back?
The 100's down and back. 50
okay, then
is the shortest
then I'm
50 one you
meter.
Got.
Then that's what I want. One time down, and then let's go compare that from high school scores to NCAA scores to Olympic scores and see where it would put me. If you're interested in that, you called me out on the baseball thing. I'll knock those balls all day long, but you would be stunned at how fast I could get from one end of the pool to another. If that interests you, I feel like maybe that's falling flat. Maybe that doesn't interest you.
Listen, we've got a lot of different shows that we do, and your lunacy is a part of the appeal. So I want you to say,
it's not lunacy, man. If I'm willing to put it on the line, I'm willing to let you video this and bring it in and put my scores, and then you can either tell me to shut up or not. And I also want to add this because in case some fans do call, because I'll do this in a second, and I need somebody to go, hey, Chill, I want to see you do it. That's all I'm looking for right here. As soon as somebody calls me, I'll put it on. You go, oh my god, that guy is really fast. But What I mean by freestyle too is how fast I can get to. I don't want any. I don't know if there's rules in swimming where you have to do the crawl stroke or you have to swim like this. Or
you just want to freestyle.
My definition of freestyle means how fast can I get from this body of water, okay, from this end of the body of water to the other end in the water. That's what my definition would be, because I'll go underwater for a long time, and I don't know if there's a point where you have to pop up. But I go really fast, largely because of the push off of my dive when I dive in. And so I want that added. So it's how fast can I get from one end to the other? I don't want some swimming aficionado.
Do you have a world-class dive as well?
I have a powerful dive because I follow the fundamentals. I follow the basics, and I got the fundamentals. I've never gone off a stop clock or anything else. So, the gun goes. I don't know if I could go enter a competition right now. Some of those guys would gamesmanship me. But from one end of the pool to the other, if this interests you, if it's falling, I mean, you're watching the baseball game right now, you're not even looking at me, so maybe it doesn't. One into the other, you go put my time, and we're going to record this. We're going to video record this for proof. You go put my time, and you match those from, we'll start at state level. I'll be state champion in all 50 states, but we'll just do that so we can crown me. Then move me to the NCAA level, and after I win the NCAA on paper, I want to go into the Olympic level.
Okay.
And I think you would be stunned how close my score to Phelps or Lockie.
We have a 500,000 people out there, so you know, as soon as they hear
this
show,
man, I'm saying it for that. I'm baiting people. I want them to call me on it because you're sitting here when you say kayfabe and lunacy and all this stuff, but I took you to the park. Darren pulled in. Now, he didn't get to see it, but he saw, what you think, we just scattered the balls all along the fence line because we knew Darren was going to pull in, and then we pretended I hit him. I follow the fundamentals. I follow the basics. It's something that other people don't understand in baseball, but I'm sharing with you that I can also swim. I was born with that. God decided to make me a fast swimmer. I haven't earned that. But I also offer it in the realm of pig. And that's because I understand. That's not because I'm a great basketball player. That's because I understand pig. You have to understand. My uncle won 2 NBA championships and Olympic gold medals. So when I was growing up, all of his boys are almost 7 feet tall as well. All they did is play basketball. So I went and played a lot of basketball, but we didn't have a full court. My uncle's house, we had this small paved landing, and then we had a regulation size hoop that was glued up there. So we had to find ways to create a game of basketball when you don't have a court. So what did we do? We went to pig and we went to horse, and I dominated the field. And the reason I did is because I learned the rules, and I learned that if it's your shot and you call the shot ahead of time, the other guy has to match your shot. That goes all the way down to a swish. I will granny shot a swish with my eyes closed, Joel. I go head to head with it. I was just sharing that with you. You know what? I'm done because you're laughing. I have no idea why you're laughing. You lose the right to laugh at me. Okay, I know these are ridiculous statements. Don't think I don't know. That's what you lose the right to laugh at me when I say I'll prove it. As soon as I say I'll prove it and you can video it, you lose the right. Now you either call me on it or you don't. That's where we're at. I've spent an hour hoping that you or somebody will call me on it because I know I have a secret talent for swimming. Maybe we'll get resolution to this. Maybe we won't. I'm JLP Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hey, Duck Dynasty fans, we got a new podcast, The Jep and Jess Show, with me, Jeff Roberts.
And me, Jessica. We'll be talking about our many passions, including faith, family, and everyday life.
So check out new episodes of The Jep and Jess Show every Wednesday at podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe at iTunes.